morning. You may be seated. We have done a little work on the sound system. We have replaced the mic and everything, so hopefully our problems from last Sunday have been solved. And I'm saying that just for you to be a little patient as they might be making some adjustments to this. And hopefully it will prove to be an improvement for you. We welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. We are glad that you're here. I have guests again this Sunday. This is Dwight and Judy West. They're not kin, I don't think, unless it's distant. But they are friends from when I was at First Baptist Church of Centerville. And we're glad to have them today, as well as Catherine, who is back with us. We welcome her. And just continue to invite friends and family and neighbors and whoever to come and visit with us. We're more than happy to have visitors every single Sunday. It's good to see some of you back. I know that some of you have been traveling. We're glad that you're back with us. Let me share with you some announcements, if I could. Family for Families is a way in which our church can support foster care and foster families. And you'll find that there is a sign-up interest form sheet out in the back here. If you have an interest in being a part of this, we encourage you to look at that and decide if it's something that you might have an interest in and an area that you can be involved in. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have youth activities here at the church. On Wednesday, it is our day of prayer. We have prayer meeting at 7:30 on Wednesday morning, as well as 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall on Wednesday evening. Our children's activities on Wednesday are at 6:30. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to have evangelism training. It's going to be taught as far as the wordless book story. It's a way of sharing Jesus with others. And we would encourage you to come and be a part of that. When is it? At what time? 9 o'clock, okay? And if you have the chance, if you could call Melanie and let her know that you're coming. If you do not call, that doesn't mean you cannot show up, okay? So that is Saturday at 9 o'clock. It will not last too long, maybe a little over an hour. And it'll give you some other options in sharing the gospel. Next Sunday after church is our advisory committee meeting. And then a week from Thursday is the 39ers at 12 o'clock. There's going to be a potato bar, and you can sign up. Liz Morales from the Peach County High School Agricultural Department will present the program, so encourage you in that way. The Easter egg hunt is coming up on the Saturday the 30th. Get in touch with Stephen and let him know that you want to help. And also, we're going to be having a sunrise service on Easter. That's the 31st. The details of that will be shared next week. We're trying to include more and more churches. And the location will be announced as well. But it's going to be at 7:15. The sun is supposed to rise around 7:25. Our women's ministry tea is coming up in April the 21st. Keep that in mind. There's going to be a need for hostesses for the tables as well as food. If you have questions, you can talk with Carla about that. The Cleveland Memorial Piano Fund is open and ready to receive donations. There's going to be a special memorial service on May the 5th at 2 o'clock honoring Bob and Barbara. If you have pictures of them that you would like, you'd be willing to share, get those to Nancy, put your name on the back of them. They're wanting to do a slideshow of such, so get those pictures to her if you would. Let's think about Annie Armstrong, if we could, just for a moment. Annie Armstrong, our goal is $4,000. We should surpass that easily. You can go ahead and begin giving toward that. This will be going on throughout this month and even maybe a Sunday or two past Easter. So be praying about what the Lord would like you to give in that regard. And we have a video that we would like to see this morning in that regard, okay?
Okay. There are so many that don't know Jesus in the city of Boston. I lead the Beloved Initiative, which is an anti-trafficking and sexual abuse awareness campaign. My ministry right now looks like reaching our refugee friends and their families, our homeless friends, and also women who are experiencing exploitation. There are so many parts to the equation. We look for, you know, creative ways to, you know, meet needs. I'm really passionate about gifting essential products, but it's the importance of leaving the pews and going out and being the light and love of Jesus. We have volunteers within our churches. We're creating, you know, earrings and bracelets to then use those for our street outreach. We can just bless women that are in strip clubs or on the street. And the goal is just really that the lost will be reached with the love of Christ. When people give to the Annie Armstrong offering, individuals are receiving Christ and realizing their beloved identities as beloved sons and daughters. Your generous support is going towards so many individuals who do not have a relationship with Jesus, helping them realize that they are loved and loved by Christ.
It was quite interesting because it shared something like what we're doing here at the church. First part of May, when is it? May the 2nd? May the 2nd, we're going to be having another giveaway to our community where we give out paper products, soap, and other items, just like was being shown right here. You know, through Annie Armstrong and the home mission effort, it's being done, but we can do it right here. You know, it's important that we be involved in our community. A new commandment I give you. As I have loved you, you must. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Here on the table is a list of all of those that we've done through the weeks. They're free to you to take and take home with you and study. But what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on one every week. And this week, I want us to go to the very basic, pray for one another. As you look around this morning, are you looking around? As you look around this morning, there's someone in here that could benefit from you pulling them aside and saying, let me pray for you. The Bible says that we are to pray for one another, and that's one way in which we show our love for one another. So I challenge you in that way. As we begin to think about worship, and this goes along with our worship, our scripture that we're sharing this morning is Luke 17:5. If you would share it with me. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I know that you've been to a point in your life at some time or another where that would be your prayer. It could be right where you are this morning, just bowing your head and saying, Lord, increase my faith. Of all the things that the disciples might have asked of Jesus, this is the one thing that they did ask, increase our faith. Let's think about this morning as we worship. Bob, would you come and pray?
Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful privilege to come into your house to give praise and worship to the God who is and the God who always will be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us the way you do. Please join us now. Fill us with your presence and your spirit. Open our eyes to see what you would have us to do. Lord, give us those ears to hear you speak to our hearts and let our hearts be prepared and ready to come to your altar of praise to lift you up and say thank you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Messiah, such a strong name for Jesus. When you use that name, you're truly saying that he is the name above all names, that he is Christ, the Son of God, the chosen one, the Savior of the world. Christ humbled himself and carried the cross that we might become his righteousness. Let's sing. So how many of you are sure of your salvation?
Amen.
Let me hear an amen. Are you sure of your salvation? Let me hear a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, this next song reminds and assures us of the salvation we have in Christ. It invites us to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, a blessed assurance that Jesus is ours.
Jesus is mine.
faithfulness, O God, my Father. Oh, goodness, all I have needed. What a marvelous, marvelous song. I have several of those who are my favorite. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. A chorus, amazing grace. But you know, great is thy faithfulness. It's quite a hymn of praise. God is faithful. Our scripture this morning is chapter 8. And we'll be looking at verses 22 through 25. I'm a weather person. First thing I do in the morning is get up and look at the weather. And I'm one of those that look way in advance. This morning, it puzzled me. It really did. In so much that I had to show it to Cheryl so that she could testify to the fact. On the Weather Channel, it said when I got up that the temperature was 65 degrees. I said, now that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I get up, and what I'll do is I'll look at the 10-day forecast because out in the future there are events that are going to be taking place in my life and in the life of the church, and I want to get an idea of what the temperature is going to be. Future, I'm going to be seeing what that Saturday egg hunt weather is going to be. I'm going to be going to be on Easter sunrise service morning, you know. Is it going to be 36 degrees with wet? I don't know. But I love to keep up with the weather. I watch the Weather Channel. I believe I could have been Jim Cantore or Stephanie Abrams. I would have no problem with that. I love to experience the weather. I'm blessed with a wife that loves that. A storm is coming up. We're not under the bed. We're out on the porch. We're watching it as it comes in. I believe it was back when Hurricane Michael, you know, we have a hurricane that comes through, appears every 4 or 5 years. Hurricane Michael, and then there was Hurricane Ian, and it was is indented a little bit. I was over on the side protecting myself. I was watching those pecan trees sway back and forth. I was loving every minute of it. Oh, my goodness. As much as I love to experience storms, I don't think that I want to be at sea when a storm. Luke 22 says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat, set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down the lake, so the boat was being swamped. They were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. So he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who then is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Now, I've had the opportunity to see the type of boat that Jesus was in. The boat that Jesus was in was about the length from here to the wall, about 27 feet. It was about as wide as this pulpit, about 7.5 feet. It was about 4 feet deep. So that gives you an idea of the boat that Jesus was in. Now, he was on the Sea of Galilee, or what some call the Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Tiberias. It's a fine line between a lake and a sea. Us Southerners would call it a lake. 13 miles long, about 7 miles wide. You can see across it easily. That's the reason the crowds could see Jesus as he was crossing and going to the other side. And they would run around and meet him when he got there. Something neat about the Sea of Galilee, it is located 700 feet below sea level. Now, and it's also surrounded by mountains that go up to 2,000 feet above sea level. So if you can imagine, mountains coming around, and down here is the Sea of Galilee. Interesting note about the geography, and there is an opening, a small opening in that mountain that surrounds it. And then off of the Mediterranean Sea, the wind comes literally down because it's 700 feet below sea level. It comes reaches that small opening, and it increases in intensity as it goes into that opening, and then it begins to swirl around in that bowl. That's the reason in the NIV it said a squall came what? Down.
Why did it come down?
Off the Mediterranean, down to 600 or 700 feet below level.
In the ESV, it says a windstorm came down on the sea,
and I love the Amplified translation. It says it really even better when it says a whirlwind revolving from below upward
swept down on the lake.
So, can you
visualize it?
They're taking into consideration those mountains.
It came down,
forcing itself in that opening, and it began to swirl around in there, and what
would happen would be
storms would come up suddenly because of this. Now,
I don't think
being in a storm like that on the Sea of Galilee would be much fun in this size boat. It's by accident. I turned
on the radio this morning, and all of a sudden the song came on.
When you walk through the storms, hold your head up high and don't aim on. You know, storms we think of as being in nature, but storms also suddenly in life as well. Just tell my friends I appreciate their love, I appreciate their prayer. I just wish that I could be still in the hospital. He had a biopsy this week.
It showed atypical cells
on the pancreas. In prayer for Danny. It was just a month or so ago that he was here, okay?
How about Nancy
and Bill? Oh, Nancy would have been right up here, but
a storm came.
Life, Bill, fell. Story.
When storms come into our lives, they're not any
fun either. But you know, a lot of times we can learn a lot of lessons when storms. Life, you know, Christian life is far more than just being about going to heaven when we die because of our faith in Jesus Christ.
You know, our
Christian faith
teaches us how to live
stormy. The miracle shows us that since Jesus is Lord over all, we can trust him in the storms of life, our individual lives, the life of life that we have here with our church. And then at the end of this brief story that we have here, in verse 25, who then is this? And that is the question Luke wants us to consider. Who then is this? In the beginning, Jesus spoke and created. And the ways of his creation and have them obey him. Yet for his disciples who were still growing in their understanding of who Jesus was, it was an amazing miracle. We all know that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, one of my favorite songs to sing in and around the Lord's Supper is afterward, he is Lord. He is Lord. He's risen from the dead. He is Lord. We know that and we say that. But we don't always really know him as Lord. In the practical, in our daily situations, those things that we encounter, the Lord often does for us exactly what he did for the disciples. The Lord led them in to the storm. Think about it. Looking at verse 22, it says, Jesus said to him, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Did he know what he was getting them into? I believe that he did. I believe Jesus knew all things. I believe he knew that they were going to learn a lot through that time. Although many of those disciples were veteran fishermen. We know Peter and another one. And they knew that lake like they knew the back of their hand. They had been through storms on that lake before. They probably didn't anticipate the strength the storm. It was one of those unexpected to the disciples, but I don't believe unexpected to Jesus. Must have been quite a storm, because even these experienced fishermen feared for their lives. Sure, as it started, they saw it coming. They were well aware. They kept an eye, I'm sure, on the horizon, and they saw a storm coming up. We just need to keep our eyes. And then they began to think that they could handle this, you know, like we do with storms that come in. You know, we realize we've got a problem. We think that we can handle it, and all of a sudden, it gets out of control. Several characteristics that I want us to see about this storm and how it relates to us as we face life. One that I want us to begin with is to understand the storm. Suddenly and without warning. Is that true? I think back to our friends that are visiting. Wasn't it during the night that you woke up with the fire? Their house caught on fire and it was destroyed. They were in bed asleep. And there it was. House on fire. Wow. Is that suddenly? That's a storm that suddenly hits. But, you know, I would bet that each of us have a story like this. Jesus led them into the storm, and all of a sudden, it suddenly hit. Everything was smooth sailing for them. And that's the way life can be. And then all it takes is the smell of smoke or a telephone call from your child or your spouse or grandchild, or a report from the doctor, or being called into your boss's office, and then all of a sudden there's a storm. get ready for a storm is before it hits. Oh, when a hurricane is watching, it's still out in the coming off the coast of Africa as it makes its way. And I watch the forecast, and they begin to talk about the storm surge and the amount of rain and amount of wind that's going to come. And what they do, they begin to narrow in where it's going to hit, and they begin to say, now is the time to get ready for the storm. You hear them say that? Okay, it's going to be coming somewhere in the panhandle. So all of you in the panhandle, start making preparations for the storm. So is the case with us.
We need to make preparations for the storm.
Something. You're
coming out of the storm. You're in a storm.
Hey, that's life. That's the way it is. Now's the time for it hits. If you don't spend time with the Lord during the time in your life when everything is peaceful, you won't find the storms. Another thing to understand is that storms hit believers. The storm hit those that Jesus was in their boat, and it also hit those who were there, and Jesus wasn't in their boat. If you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 36, another one of this, it says that there were other boats that were with Jesus. That storm hit them all. Interesting to understand. Christians and churches are not exempt from the storms of life. Things aren't always going to be smooth. Amazing to me. Over the last 2 weeks, I've got phone calls from individuals in churches that I've been involved in as an interim, and they were complaining. Brother Phil,
we want to know what you think.
Yeah. Brother Phil, we want to know what you think. One of them had a young lady. They were in need of a leader, worship leader.
And she was playing the guitar and leading worship, and she was sitting on a stool. She had a
mic on her guitar, and a mic
sitting by, and she was laying.
And they were saying, I just don't like somebody that sits and leads worship. And then in concert. How many of you know who Rhett Walker is? Okay. Some of you, others of you don't. He's a contemporary Christian artist who plays in big places, and there was a connection with the church to the point that they were able to get him to come in concert in a church no larger than this one. How often can that happen? And they sold tickets. The church didn't. It was all online. $12. $12 for a concert with Rhett Walker in a close environment. And the reason they were doing it was they were wanting to attract young couples out of the community to come and be in the church. Brother Phil, I've been a member of this church for 20-something years, and I've never had to pay to go to worship on Sunday night. I just wanted to know what you think. You know what that is? That's almost like a lightning strike. It's almost like a storm might be coming. Storm might be coming. Because what happens is when one person begins feeling, do. If she called me and asked me what I thought, you can rest assured that she would talk with other people about what they thought. See, a storm can come to us individually. It can come to us as a church, a community, whatever the case might be. Just because Jesus is in your boat, it doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Amen? We're not as Christians.
Some think that being a Christian earns you
some type of special protection. Let me tell you something.
Storms
hit obedient believers who are serving the Lord. This storm did not hit the disciples because they had been disobedient, but rather because
they had been obedient.
The 22nd verse,
Jesus said,
let's go over to the other side. They got loaded up in the boat,
and so
they headed in that way.
They were being obedient, and
Jesus led
them straight into a storm.
Have often found that the most severe times of testing have come right after a time of commitment to obedience. The point is being obedient
to
storms. It often leads you right into the storms.
And not only did the Lord lead the disciples into the storms,
look what happened next. He went to sleep. Seemed to leave them alone. And what a time to fall asleep. Just when they needed him most, he was asleep, resting in the back of the boat. Have you ever felt like that in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a trial? Lord, where are you? You get into it and it seems as if the Lord has left you all alone. You're in the problem, trying to do everything you possibly can. You're bailing out the water as quickly as you can, as crazy as it might seem. The waves are filling the boat. You're about to go
under, and you wonder,
where is the Lord? In reality, the Lord was with them in the storm. He's always there. But often he waits until we are at our wits' end, so that we sense how great our need really is. You know, when I think of that, I think back to Psalm 107. And it tells, read it, verse 20.
Others went out
on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters.
They saw the works of the Lord and wonderful deeds in the deep. For his spoke, his servant kept the sailing. And I
to their
desire. The Lord is there in the midst of the storm. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never
leave you, nor will I ever forsake
you.
Whenever you're in a storm, even though you may think first that the Lord is not there, he's there. And the first thing we must do in the storms of life is to affirm that Jesus is Lord. Lord, I give you this. I trusted you. My faith is in you. And I know that you're going to bring me through this. Storms of our life. Jesus said in the 25th verse, if you look, the question to the disciples is, where is your faith? Where's your faith? If there's ever a time to panic, it's when the boat is being swamped. When the major storm is there. And yet,
Jesus
also rebuked his disciples because of their lack of faith. The disciples could cope with a normal storm quite well. They were experts at handling the boat on the Sea of Galilee. There was no problem at first, I don't think, but the and showed them how they were trusting in themselves. The Lord can use a crisis to reveal new areas where we need to learn to trust Him. We must come to know our weaknesses so that we will rely on our Lord's strength. Storms often show us things that we don't see in times. The disciples, Master, Master, we're perishing. We're drowning. Verse 24. All of us are going to drown. We have to stop for just a moment and think about Lord, God's promised Messiah. In their panic, the disciples had a distorted view of the problem. Some fear is useful because it leads us to be cautious. Sometimes fear may action to perhaps even save our lives or the lives of our loved ones. But fear is excessive and wrong when we are focused on the problem that we cannot see God's control over it and we're not trusting Him. Verse 25. Who then is this? That was their problem. They didn't realize. If they had known, they would not have been so amazed at what happened. They underestimated His power. We do the very same thing when we panic in a time of crisis, when things are out of control. Although Luke does not mention it, Mark mentions it in his account in Mark chapter 4. Don't you care? It's easy to doubt the Lord's love and care for us. That's why by faith we must always affirm two things. We must affirm the sovereignty of God and we must affirm His love. When we're in troubled times, we must acknowledge God's sovereignty. God, I know that You're in control. You're the sovereign God. And I know that You love me. Doesn't that change things? Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand that He may lift up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Storms in life should drive us to trust in the Lord of the storm. The disciples, we were trusting in the Lord. We called to Him for help. But they were not really calling to Jesus in faith. Or He wouldn't have rebuked them by saying, "Where is your faith?" Does that make sense? What they needed most in their life, in this life-threatening situation, was to trust in God. That's also what we need most in our trials. So the question being raised, who then is this in verse 25? Clearly, we know that Jesus was fully human. We see that in that He was tired, He was asleep. He was needing some comfort there. We know that He was fully divine. All He had to do was merely speak the word, and the wind ceased, and the waves were instantly as smooth as glass. In fact, in my Bible, I've got a more clear translation that I wrote in for the word calm, where it says, the storm subsided and was at calm. And it means a perfect peacefulness. A calmness that was there. He was fully human, fully divine, merely had to speak the word, just as Jesus' full humanity encourages us. He should encourage us as well. The bigger the problem, the bigger the storm, the more the Lord will be glorified when we trust Him. We need to always keep in mind that our desire should be to no matter what happens to us. The bigger the problem, the more the Lord will be the more that we trust Him, the more that we can trust Him in the future. As we look back on what God has done for us and how He's brought us through certain situations, that should ignite our faith to deal with what we're facing today. Back in our faith. I read where someone said, with Christ in the boat, you can smile at the storm. Reason in which that's truth, but we need to face the fact. Listen to me. Sometimes Jesus doesn't calm the storm. Did you hear me? The boat sinks if we're trusting in Him. Think back, John the Baptist wasn't delivered from prison. He was. Then Peter was miraculously delivered from prison. James was. So what should we do if we trust in the Lord, but the boat sinks? Trust in the Lord. Jesus in that way. No matter what life might bring, my faith, my trust is in You. Two important things. What did I say? Do you remember back? God is sovereign and God is love. So I trust whatever happens is in God's sovereign love. Storm is coming, folks. Storm might be here, or the storm might have passed. What should our prayer be? Lord, verse that we started with, increase our faith. Increase my faith, so that I can truly acknowledge You as the sovereign God and realize the fullness beyond our understanding. Lord, we read in the Scripture that You have a plan and You have a purpose, and we acknowledge that. And Lord, we come to understand that even before we were created, You had a plan and a purpose for us and a love for us. We stop for a moment. Those who are in a storm, we pray that the cease. We pray that the waves might become calm. But whatever the case might be, we pray you might be acknowledged as the sovereign God, the God that lavishes us with a love that's beyond our understanding. Lord, there are those here this morning that are trying to face life on their own. They've yet to come to a point in place their faith. Lord, I pray that you might touch them with your mercy, your love today. I pray that you might bring forgiveness. I pray that you might spark a faith in their life where they come of their sin, trusting in you as Savior and Lord of their life. For others here, Lord, today, I pray that as they're struggling, comfort, that you might bring strength, that your presence might overwhelm.
Lord, we love you. We pray you. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name.
And as we sing, if the Spirit has touched you in some way where you would want to pray, the altar is here for you. If there's something you might want to share with me, I'll be here at the front. Would you stand as we sing?
Is love.